I'd like to welcome you back to the show. My guest is Ed Ring from the California Policy Center. Ed, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Andy.
We've been talking about the fact that California government pension contributions, this is what taxpayers end up paying by way of government having to spend the money they'd normally be spending on services to you, or having to go into this black hole of pension obligations. And then these things are going to be doubled in the next 6 years. And Ed, you know, what I don't get is every city and every county is in the same boat. Why aren't they pushing for a pension referral form going forward for existing employees?
That's a really good question. You know, I mentioned earlier, and I'll mention again, that the California League of Cities just came out with their own report on pensions, and they have what they call pension sustainability principles. It's what they are, you know, they ought to be. I think that they need to be more aggressive, banding together, you know, as cities collectively, and pressuring the legislature, because most reforms that would make a difference can't happen unless the state legislature enacts it or there's a citizens initiative. And the California League of Cities has the resources, by the way, to fund a citizens initiative. So it's really a matter of will. It's not a matter of not knowing what the solution is or not having any possible solution that you can pursue. Because if they wanted to solve the problem, they could pressure the legislators, and if that didn't work, they could fund the citizens initiative. And what you're referring to in particular is one of the bullet points that they list under their pension sustainability principles: converting all currently deemed classic employees, that's employees that were hired before the PEPRA reforms of 2012, to be the subject to the same provisions, benefits, and employee contributions currently in place for PEPRA employees for all future years of service. They're not even trying to take away anything that's been earned so far. All they're saying is from now on, make active employees, all of them, have to be subject to these PEPRA reforms, these pension reforms of 2012, not just new hires, but all of the active employees, and just from now on. And if they did that, they would go a long ways to solving the problem.
Well, it just makes you wonder what they think is going to happen. What about the Supreme Court, California Supreme Court case? Any chance that will give us the relief?
Maybe. You know, if the court rules that the so-called California rule, which says that once you've made a deal with an employee, that deal in terms of benefits has to be honored right up until the day they retire. For the next 30 or more years, you have to hold that, you have to keep that intact. And what reformers, including again the, you know, mainstream reformers like the California League of Cities, all they're trying to do is say, look, if you're going to be having a pension benefit accrue at, let's say, 3% a year from now until, you know, from whenever you were hired until now, all we're saying is from now on until you retire, let's make it 2% a year, which, to make sure that people understand how reasonable this is, it wasn't until 1999 that pension benefits started to be increased from, for example, 2% a year to 3% a year. And when they did it, they made it retroactive. They made it go all the way back to the date of hire. So let's say somebody, this is a bit complicated, but it's important, Andy, so I hope you'll indulge me. What happened in 1999, it started with the Highway Patrol. There was a Senate bill, and they said, if you're about to retire, let's say you retired in 1998, yet 30 years, and you were on a 2% pension, that means they would take 30 years times this multiplier of 2%, and that would be 60%, 2% times 30, and that 60% would be multiplied by your final year's salary. Let's say it's $100,000, and you would then get 60% of that, a $60,000 a year pension. People who retired after Senate Bill 400 in the Highway Patrol, let's say they had been working 30 years and didn't retire until the year 2000, they would get 3% times 30 years. and a 90% pension instead of a 60% pension, even though they only worked for 2 years after those benefits were increased. So what I'm trying to say is the people who created this mess are the ones that enhanced these pensions, not just from now on, but retroactively. And it created this huge overhang, and they did it right before the stock market corrected when the internet bubble popped. And they didn't care. The lobbyists for CalPERS and the lobbyists for the unions were so strong that they said, everybody's got to get this benefit enhancement. They've got to get it retroactively. And it doesn't matter if the stock market's correcting and we no longer have a surplus fund. We are still going to give this to everybody, and that's what they did, and they did it retroactively. And all the reformers are trying to do is say that from now on, we're going to make it come back down to earth. We're not going to take away all those things that were granted.
Okay, one of the things you mentioned in passing is CalSTRS, the California State Teachers Retirement System, is in worse shape than CalPERS.
Correct.
And they don't have all the tools available to cities and counties. And B, I've always understood that the state itself is primarily on the hook, plus the local school district. Could you explain how bad a shape they're in?
Well, CalSTRS is better off and worse off for the same reason, which is the fact that the state is on the hook to help fix some of this stuff. I wouldn't necessarily say that CalSTRS is in a worse position in terms of trying to implement reforms for a couple of reasons. The CalSTRS pensions they're not as unsustainable as CalPERS pensions are in many cases. The teachers' pensions are, you know, they're great pensions, and I'd love to have one, but they're not as good, for example, as the public safety pensions, or even a lot of the miscellaneous employee pensions over in the CalSTRS side in all of the cities and counties and other agencies. So the teachers' pensions are a little bit less, it's a little bit less money to try to cover for each participant. The other thing about CalSTRS is the state, because the state's responsible for bailing them out, you have two sources of funds. You have the local agencies and you have the state to try to fix that. And you have the state legislature able to exercise more control over what kind of changes to the benefits can be made. In the case of CalSTRS, their lobbyists actually put through legislation that makes it impossible for the state to make changes to a lot of these CalPERS benefits. Unless there's, I don't know exactly how much more you have to do in the state legislature, but it's harder for the state legislature to fix things in the CalPERS system compared to the CalSTRS.
But they were slated to go belly up first, right? Because they're writing checks, for all these pensioners faster than money's coming in.
Well, they both are doing that. CalPERS, the most recent reports that we've got from CalPERS and CalSTRS puts CalSTRS at 63% funded and CalPERS at 68% funded. Those are both alarming numbers. CalSTRS is a little worse off.
And there is a point of no return, right?
Yes, and the hard part is figuring out where that point of no return is, because again, you know, pension funds that are this big don't just dry up. You know, they've got, what, 300 and something billion in the CalPERS system. They've got, I don't know, not quite $200 billion in the CalSTRS system. That's a lot of money. So they're not going to just dry up. And the question is, when do you get to that tipping point? When is the cascade effect so bad that all of a sudden, you know, you can't write any checks? And the fact is, as long as they've got money in their asset, you know, in their investment portfolio, they can keep writing checks until they've got no money. And that's not going to happen. Andy, by the time it gets down that far, there's going to be reforms. There's going to be not only cuts to services and increases to taxes, but there's going to be some kind of set of triggers put in place to lower cost of living adjustments or to lower these pension multipliers, even retroactively, potentially. Reforms will happen. Look what happened in Detroit. Maybe it requires a municipal bankruptcy or another couple of those. But sooner or later, but it won't be the system that dries up. It'll be the cities that have to feed the system that can't do it anymore and declare bankruptcy.
All right.
Then.
Ed, thank you so much for being with us. We always love having you on the show.
It's always fun. There's a lot going on, Andy. It's hard to get it all out, you know?
Well, you do a great job. Ed Ring, California Policy Center. You're listening to the Andy Caldwell Show. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.